والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن غر كريم والفاجر خب لئيم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who yet again has blessed us with this most beautiful opportunity, the opportunity of being present for the occasion of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a great favor for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should show our gratefulness, our appreciation, our gratitude. And we should have this niyat in our heart that, oh Allah, give me the opportunity of seeing many more Jumu'ahs and give me the opportunity of being early for Jumu'ah Salah also and give me the opportunity of valuing this great day of Jumu'ah. Anyway, the last time we had spoken and we had touched on a subject of those subordinates, those staff that are working for a person. So this happens to be a very, very important topic, very topical topic, in the sense that nearly every one of us is exposed with some level of staff beneath us. Sometimes a person might not be the owner of the business, he might not be the shareholder of the business or the company, but he may be in a managerial position where he got people below him. Or sometimes a person is not even in a managerial position, but at home he's got domestics that are working for him. Sometimes a person may be in manufacturing, he got just lay people working for him in building, whatever he may be in. But at every point somebody has got somebody that is below him working for him in some matter or the other. So the hadith and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so beautiful. What should be our attitude to the people that are working for us? Should it be a dictator, authoritative matter, that we just come and we push our way and demand things be done? Or should we be leading by example and should we be leading by akhlaq? There is a hadith in Bukhari Sharif that comes many, many places. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi have brought this hadith in several places, taking out several lessons from this hadith, famously known as Hadithul Ghor, the hadith with regards to the cave. Famous hadith, we may have heard it several times, but sometimes it acts as a revision for us, that there were three people that were moving and they were traveling. And it was inclement weather, very, very bad weather. It began to rain. So to take some type of shelter, they took shelter in a cave. Now it so happened that we know when there's heavy rain, sometimes what happens, you get falling rocks, falling boulders. So a boulder had come and had blocked the entrance of the cave. So now these people were there, they realized that they can't go out. So now they decided, what should we do? So one of them suggested that every one of us should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleading Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that some good act that we did, some act that we did sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah Pak, you use that act as a wasila, as a means for our du'as being answered. So that's what they did. So that shows us the first lesson we learn is the lesson of sincerity. When somebody does something with sincerity, the effect of it can be felt many, many years later. So everyone made du'a, the first person made du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was a shepherd. I used to take my flock and go out. And I had a habit and I had a style that whenever I would come back, I would bring milk. In those days, milk would be like a staple food, like a food where they people would drink and they would get for the evening. So he said, I would take this milk, I would bring this milk back. And the first people I would come to serve this milk to was my parents, my aged old parents. Out of respect for them, out of the akhlaq and adab for them, I would come and I would give them. I wouldn't drink from the milk. I wouldn't even give my family, my wife and children that milk until my parents would drink. What happened one occasion when I was taking this flock of sheep of mine to look for more greener pastures, to look for better food for them, I happened to go a very long way out. And because of that, I got delayed. And when I came back, I found that my parents already fell off to sleep. So when I brought this milk, they were sleeping. So now I thought to myself that if I'm going to wake them up, he didn't wake them up naturally because he didn't want to disturb the sleep of his parents. This is what you call akhlaq. Nowadays a child will go out late at night, 12, 1 o'clock. The parents are staying awake. They're worried, where is the child? What time he'll come back? What will happen to him? And the child is not concerned even of the sleep of the parents. Not concerned of the state of mind of the parents. But here this person came back and what he didn't want to disturb the sleep of his parents. So what he did was he said, I'll stand here the whole night with this milk. In case they wake up and they're hungry, at least I'm there to present that milk to them. So he says, I stood there the whole night right up till Fajr. I didn't drink from the milk and I didn't even give my children and family to drink. Why? Because I was worried that my parents may wake up and they may want right till Fajr. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I did this solely for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today you save us. So that rock moved a little bit. Then the second person made dua that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I had a cousin of mine, the daughter of my uncle, and I loved her a lot. Immensely I loved her. And I wanted to get involved in a haram type of relationship. I wanted to do a haram act with her. But she was not willing to give in. But because of her condition, she exceeded. She was in need of funds. She was in need of money. So she exceeded. If you give me 100 gold coins, then I will allow you to do the haram act with me. So for 1 year, he went to work. You know, they say love is blind. So 1 year, he worked and he worked and he worked. And he did everything for that love of his life. And now when he collected that 100 gold coins, she had to keep up to her part of the deal. So she kept up to her part of the deal. And just before he could do the act, this woman tells him and she said, Ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was enough. He left everything and he said that I gave her the gold coins also and I didn't do the haram act. Oh Allah, it was out of your fear. And out of that fear that I may displease you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that was only done for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you save us today. That rock moved a little bit more. So that shows the power of having the fear and taqwa in our heart. That effects and the benefits of that also can be felt many, many times later, many years later, the effect of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there was a third person that ties up with our topic, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I was a rice producer. I had farms of rice. And there was people working for me. And there was how I would pay them by a certain measure of rice. In Arabic they call it faraq. One measure of rice I would give them, and I gave all the people working for them their dues, but there was one person that before he could take his amount, he left and he went away. So what I did was I kept it for him. Now this is what you'd call taking the welfare of your staff, looking after those that are below you. So he said, I took it for him, and I didn't just keep it there for him, I invested it on his behalf. So I istathmartuhu, I invested it, this thing grew and grew, and the investment grew. Many years later, this person had come back. And then he tells me that, give me my due. So I tell him that you look and whatever you see in front of you as far as camels are concerned. Imagine camels in those days was huge money. Camels, cows, sheep and goats together with the shepherd, all that belongs to him. So this person said, لا تستهزي بي. Don't mock at me. Don't joke with me. Don't mess around. As we say, how can this all be mine? So he said, no, this is yours. Anyway, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did that to take care of the staff of mine for the pleasure, for your pleasure. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you knew that I did it for you, then help us and save us. Then that rock immediately moved that extra one third. So the whole boulder was moved. The lesson we learn from here is that when a person looks after his staff, he looks after his people below him, then this is a ba'is, it is a means of his du'as getting answered. Many of us ask ourselves, why is our du'as not getting answered? Ask ourselves, how are we treating our staff? Are we just treating them anyhow? There's an incident. Just after the battle of Taif, the tribe of the Hawazin tribe, a delegation from them came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this battle was over. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam had even distributed the booty that he had collected. The wealth of this tribe, the women and the children also was distributed. So a delegation came from them pleading and pledging allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaching us something so important. Very often it happens that all the staff need and the people below us need, they need a little bit of time to listen to their complaints. Sometimes they don't need too much, they just need us to listen to what the complaints they got, what they have to say. Therefore this is part of our deen. That hadith which I read in the khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned, Al-mu'minu ghirrun kareemun. A mu'min is one that has got a sharif tabiat. He's very noble, very honorable, bola bala, he's easy going. If his staff want to talk to him, it is very easy to talk. Sometimes we may think that it's so difficult because we got so many staff, but there is methods and methodologies. This was the incident I'm mentioning from the incident of the Hawazin, where a person doesn't necessarily have to, if you've got 100, 200 staff, he may say, it's hard for me to listen to everyone's story, to interact with them, to empathize, to sympathize, to share with them in their problem. It's very hard for me. But there's one other method we can use, a very effective method of having one department there, or one called the HR department, where these people now interact with the staff that we have. Because it's not possible, but still they got a voice that that leads to management, it leads to the ownership. They feel as though they part and parcel. There is somebody on the top that is listening to them. So what happened is these people came and complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came and they requested that O Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, that our wives, our children are gone, our wealth is gone, everything is gone. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam tells them that as far as your wealth is concerned, that has already been distributed. But before that he asked them, what would you like? So they said, we would like our family back. Instead of our wealth, we would like our family, wives and children back. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam immediately spoke, teaching us that worry about everyone's rights. He said, as far as what my due is concerned and the due of the children of Abdul Muttalib is concerned, that is given back to you. But as far as the other people have to give back, I can't tell you that. What you should do is after Zuhr Salat, make an announcement. Make an announcement that this is what you would like to do. And then in one hadith, it comes in Bukhari Sharif, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, taking everyone's rights in, not thinking that these are ordinary sahaba, but valuing them, taking them into cognizance, valuing what they have to say. Everyone's voice is important. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he stood up and he said that I have decided to give back what is my due. Whoever would like to do the same, he may do the same. And who wouldn't want to do that, but he still would give whatever share was given to him. The next time booty comes, in replacement of what they are giving back, they will get a share from the booty. But this teaches us another lesson. As far as being the boss is concerned, as far as being the manager is concerned, we should try and lead by example. Let our akhlaq lead those below us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam first said, whatever is due to me, I have given that up. Whoever else would like to give, the choice is theirs. So then what happened was, they all said, we are very happy to give. Those people that were there, they stood up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, there's a big crowd here. I'm not sure, perhaps somebody is not happy to give up their right. It is possible. What you all do is, each one of you go to your leaders. Each one of you all, in other words, go to that HR department that each one of you all have. And they in turn, the leadership in turn will come to me and they will tell me whether everyone is happy. So I know that I've heard everyone's voice. It is possible that somebody may be shy to tell me something. So in our businesses also, it's possible that that worker may be feeling it hard to tell us something. They may have some request in their heart, but they feel very difficult to tell us. So it is our akhlaq that we can create some systems where we can listen to them, empathize. So this is the style of a believer. In one hadith it comes to, in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, إِنَّ شَرَّ النَّاسِ مَنْزِلَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That person that will have the worst status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, who is that person? مَنْ تَرَكَهُ أَوْ وَدَعَهُ النَّاسِ لِلْتِقَاءِ فُحْشِهِ. That person where people are frightened, people are afraid of him. So because they are afraid of him, he's such a hard person. You can't talk to him, you can't explain to him. Because they are afraid of him, they stay far away from him. He will be the worst person in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. This is Abu Dawud Sharif riwayat. How bad it is if the staff can't even speak to their boss. They don't even have that ability to go and complain. I'll just terminate on one quick incident. Recently there was a brother that came to us and he's explaining that certain policies, the Allah Pak had blessed them from a small 2x2 shop. The thing had grown and it had grown and it grown. Now it is a multi-million rand business that they have got. But, and as I mentioned, it doesn't necessarily mean that the amount is barakat. But there are certain signs when Allah Pak has blessed a person with barakat. That wealth that he's getting, he's giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's spending on the poor, on the needy. He's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as his salat is concerned, as far as his ibadat is concerned, as far as his akhlaq with people are concerned. So he was telling us that one policy, this youngster was telling us that my father, when he started that business of very small, he had one policy. Apart from the other policies he had, I'll just mention two policies before we terminate. One policy he's got is that whatever amount of zakat he gives in the business, he matches his lillah to that. We know, those people that are in business know that how hard it is firstly to give zakat. And after giving zakat, he matches that amount. So if the zakat was 10 million, he'll give 10 million lillah for the same year. So he would try and match. That was one policy he gave his charity. So Allah Pak continued blessing them. And so much they are doing for so many dini organizations. And then he mentioned this that ties up with our topic. He said 20 years ago there was one staff member that worked for us. And this staff member, he worked very hard. And now that's 20 years ago he had passed away. So when he had passed away, up till now his family are very well off. That staff that worked for us, his children, his wife, all his children have qualified. They're all professionals. They're all well off. The family is well off. But from 20 years ago, my father continuously paid an amount to that family. Up till now, he's still paying an amount to the family. He said, I appreciate what that staff did for me when he was working for me. He was a key staff of mine. He worked very hard. It doesn't matter that he passed away 20 years ago. Up till now, I'm still paying the family an amount in appreciation of what that staff member did for me. So much of appreciation today that barakah is just flowing and flowing. So that teaches us one lesson. If we want barakah in our business, let us look after our staff. Let us take care of their needs. Let us sympathize. Let us empathize. Let us be part and parcel of our staff. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.